An argument over fortune sees a beautiful woman named Diana betrayed, and her friend pitted against her, deceived by those that she trusts. Does Diana want the fortune? Is Willard acting irrationally? Will the small round boulder named Nero Wolf get off his butt and leave the confines of his hermit-like household? Listeners, find out in today's remastered episode. Noiseless, popless, and repaired by yours truly in The Beautiful Archer from the old-time radio series Nero Wolf. Turn the sound up, mates, and join me around the radio. Enjoy.
There's a full serving of laughs on the menu at Duffy's Tavern tonight with Archie the Manager, played by Ed Gardner. Archie's colleagues in comedy are Miss Duffy, Clifton Finnegan, and Eddie the Waiter. This Sunday, the big show comes your way once again on NBC. And just listen to a few of the stars who'll be with you. Fred Allen, Jack Carson, Mindy Carson, Ed Archie Gardner, Ed Wynn, and many, many more. And of course, your MC will be Tallulah Bankhead. Listen Sunday for the big show. Ladies and gentlemen, that phone bell means exciting adventure. Hello?
Hello?
The handsome young man answering the phone is Archie Goodwin. A mountain of a man engrossed in deep thought in the oversized armchair is Nero Wolf.
Hey, boss. Oh, Mr. Wolf. Mr. Wolf. There's a guy on the phone wants us to take a case. Seems that someone was mad at a guy who was mad, and now this guy on the phone is mad, wants us to find out who did the killing. What do you say, Mr. Wolf? We need the money. Hello? Yes, Mr. Wolf says he'll be happy to take the case. Just present yourself and a check for $2,000 at 601 West 35th Street at 11 o'clock. Mr. Wolf can't wait till you get here. He's dying to go to work. Goodbye. Greatest detective in the world. The only trouble is... he is.
Yes, listeners, Archie is so right. He is the greatest detective in the world, and the fattest, and the least energetic. He's Nero Wolf, created by Rex Stout, and brought to you over this NBC network in a new series of adventures by Mr. Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight, it's The Case of the Beautiful Archer. Well, that's a good title. And it was a good case, too. It began in the consulting room of Dr. Raynard Townley of the Townley Sanitarium, skip and a jump north of Nyack, New York, when a very lovely young lovely glared across the desk at the good doctor.
Shall we pretend you don't know who I am, Dr. Townley?
How could we possibly do that, my dear Diana Lawrence? 23 years old, daughter of one of our better-known sculptors, Michael Lawrence. You were born in Johannesburg, educated in London and Paris, and live at present 100 yards from here in your father's cottage on Berry Hill Lane. How's that?
It's intended to be staggering, isn't it?
You take no cream or sugar in your coffee, were winner of the Women's National Archery Tournament for 1947, and have an exceedingly high temper.
Let's stop the nonsense. You have an inpatient here named Willard Garth. Willard Garth happens to be my fiancé.
Yes, he has mentioned the fact during his analysis.
And, has he by any chance mentioned his reasons for suddenly refusing to see me during the past 5 weeks?
He didn't have to, Miss Lawrence.
Well, what do you mean?
I mean that I recommended he give you up as a bad job.
What? I suppose you had some purpose in saying what you did.
Of course. I'm the boy's doctor. You think you're in love with Willard Garth, I know, but actually, you're infatuated with the Garth millions.
You take a lot on yourself, don't you, Doctor?
I consider it important to relieve Willard of all painful external pressure.
You've done well for Willard, Dr. Townley, relieving him of me.
I think so.
Now, let's see you relieve yourself of me.
You, purchased the gun for this occasion, Miss Lawrence?
Yes.
And what exactly do you hope to accomplish with it?
A quick and complete reversal of your decision about me. I'm not as easy to handle as Willard is, you see. And if you intend to ruin my life, then I intend to end yours, here and now.
The phone is ringing.
Let it ring.
Just as you say. It's the house phone, Miss Lawrence. It may be Willard, you know.
Oh, Willard?
Yes, he usually phones me from his room at about this time every day.
All right. Answer it, but be careful what you say.
You're in command, it seems. Hello? Oh, why, hello. I thought it would be you, Willard. Look, my boy, Diana Lawrence is here. I've had a talk with her, and I've reconsidered my opinion. Yes, yes, I'm quite serious. If you're at all sensible, you see her regularly and plan on a marriage as soon as you're discharged. Yes. Oh, you do? Very well, I'll see if she'll talk to you. Miss Lawrence.
Yes?
Do you want to speak with him?
Give me the phone.
Of course. Here you are, and I'll take this gun. There we are. Now, stand away, Miss Lawrence.
But Willard's on the phone.
Willard is not on the phone. No one was on the phone. The ring came from the push-button bell under my desk here. Oh. Sometimes I find it convenient to interrupt my consultations with a phone call.
Oh, you smug, deceitful, self-sufficient...
Murder is a vexatious business. You'll be grateful to me one day.
All right. Give me my gun and let me go.
The gun, I'm afraid, stays with me. Here in this Metallica cabinet. I'd scarcely feel justified in trusting you with it. And now, with your permission, or without it, the interview is ended.
Later that day, the phone in the Lawrence house on Berry Hill Lane began to jingle. And this time it was no phony.
Hello?
Diana?
Yeah?
Willard, darling. Diana, darling, it's Willard.
Imagine. Has the doctor let you use the telephone just as if you were a great big adult?
Oh, I've got to see you, sweetheart, and I didn't call you to argue. Love, beauty, understanding, that's what matters. Isn't it? Isn't it?
Do I hear the overtones of a change of heart?
Oh, Diana, what's happened wasn't my fault. He poisoned me against you.
Then why don't you walk out of that amateur nut house and stand up like a man?
I probably shall, Diana. Now, please listen to me. He's letting me have the limousine tonight from 8 until 12. I want us to go for a ride and talk and talk and talk until everything is clear. Clear as a bell, my baby.
Don't tell me he's trusting you to drive.
Oh, no. No, one of the handymen here will chauffeur us. Oh, say you'll come, Diana. Will you? Say it. Say yes. Say you will.
Well, yes, Willard. I'll be glad to.
Oh, 8 o'clock, then?
8.
Oh, bless you. Bless you, my angel.
Oh, so that's it. You want my father's money. That's what you love, not me.
Willard, the chauffeur will hear you.
It's the way Townley says it is. He's right. He's right.
Oh, why did I let you talk me into this? What a fool I was to have come at all. You're sick inside, Willard, so utterly, hopelessly sick.
Oh, so now I'm hopelessly sick.
Yes. Yes, you are.
You're trying to confuse me. Take advantage of me. Wind me around your finger. Just because I love you too much. That's it. That's my illness. Of course, I see it now. You. You're the thing I must get rid of. You with your beautiful, beautiful face and your twisted values. You're at the bottom of all my agony.
Willard!
I'm saving myself. I'm saving myself. Once you're dead, the sickness is ended. I'll be safe. I'll be safe.
Willard.
Dr. Townley?
Yes.
Come in. Mr. Wolf's been expecting you.
Come in, Dr. Townley. Come in. Have a chair.
Thank you, Mr. Wolf. I'm so happy you've agreed to take this case.
Never can ask for beer.
Oh, no. Never at this time of morning, thank you.
Well, Doctor, the newspapers checked with what you told me. The girl and young Garth went out for a ride in your limousine last night. The car was driven by one of your handymen.
That's right. Haynes, his name is.
And they never came back. Young Garth was found dead in the car with two bullets in him. The girl was gone, and also Haynes, the handyman chauffeur.
Correct, sir.
Have you any idea where he could be?
No, sir.
And the young lady, tell me about her.
She's Diana Lawrence, daughter of Michael Lawrence.
The sculptor?
The sculptor. She lives with him in a small cottage near my sanatorium on Berry Hill Lane. An extremely aggressive and self-centered female with more than a slight flair for violence.
Your description might easily lead me to suspect her of this murder, sir.
I'm aware of that. And I don't think you'd be far off the mark. As I told you on the phone, she tried to murder me yesterday morning.
The police have made no headway in locating her?
No. The homicide division has contacted her father, but he's remained quite noncommittal. He simply says that he's sure she's incapable of killing a fly and that he hasn't laid eyes on her since 8 o'clock last night.
Highly suspicious behavior.
She was unquestionably in the car with young Garth when he was murdered.
She wasn't alone in the car with him.
You're referring to Haynes?
Yes, but he can't be found either, remember?
It appears that he failed to list his address on his job application. But somehow, Mr. Wolfe, I'm quite sure he'll show up this afternoon.
Somehow, Dr. Townley, if I were you, I wouldn't be quite so sure. We must begin by facing the initial problem of locating our suspects. Archie?
Yes, sir?
Get out the car and drive up to the house on Berry Hill Lane.
And then?
There you will ask Mr. Michael Lawrence to be sensible enough to cooperate with us in finding his daughter.
And if the answer is no?
I recommend, Archie, that you flatly refuse to take it.
Mr. Lawrence was no simple baby to handle. He was in a studio when I walked in, chiseling on a statue of a boy and a girl, both wearing less clothes than the law allows. And before I got a chance to state my name, he commenced giving me a free lecture on the marble work of art.
She's good. Really good. She's practically superb. The Ariadne.
The what Ariadne?
The girl in the statue.
Oh.
That's Ariadne. Tragic nymph of Greek mythology. Don't tell me you're not familiar with Apollo and Ariadne.
All right, I won't.
The Apollo, on the other hand, is unfinished. The face, you see, it lacks something. The passion of yearning, Olympian desire. And yet, you know, the two figures have motion.
Like your daughter?
Eh?
Your daughter, Diana, she's got motion also. As I hear it, she's been in motion ever since she murdered Willard Garth last night in the back end of a limousine.
So you're another flatfoot?
Not exactly. I'm paid in private by Nero Wolfe.
Nero Wolfe?
Yeah.
You don't mean that a credible man like Wolfe thinks Diana killed young Garth?
Well, he'd like to talk over the possibility with
him. How laughable. Look at that face. Is there anything of the murderous in a face like that?
In a face like what?
Oh, I'm sorry. Diana posed for the Ariadne, you see. And the likeness is exact. Do you think a girl of this type, classic, sensitive, civilized, could descend to the clumsy, brute level of murder?
Well, it's a little hard to imagine.
There. Even you agree with me.
On the other hand...
Shall we discuss the other hand over a cup of coffee? I'm quite exhausted.
If you insist.
I do. Sit down and inhale the atmosphere of culture at its source. There's a pot warming on the stove.
Pot of what? Coffee or culture? Wait and see what he means. Should never ignore a phone call. Knows might be something important. Yes?
This is Diana, Father.
Oh, yes, Diana.
It's all over the papers.
Yes, I know.
I don't think they'll find me where I am. And I'm staying here until things quiet down a little.
Where are you, honey?
What did you say?
I said, where are you?
You said, honey. Daddy, you never call me honey.
I know, it's because I'm excited. Where are you, sweetheart? Not a soul in the world. Where are you?
Well, you know where Tyne Pike turns off to the left beyond Bartsville?
Yes.
Well, I'm...
Call me later, Angel.
But, Father, I...
Oh, get that motorman's number.
You will live, my friend, but not long if you don't control your curiosity.
You'll get me. with that mallet you hit me. What was the big idea?
You really have to ask that question. Well, is you trying to trick my daughter into disclosing her whereabouts?
The police are pretty interested in her whereabouts.
Then let them find her. But you can't be surprised, my friend, if I choose to protect Diana's interests.
So he's working on an Apollo and Ariadne, is he, Archie?
Who cares about Apollo and Ariadne? The point is how he worked on my gourd.
That, of course, is unfortunate, my boy. But... you get that, Pete?
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Inspector Kramer.
Hold it. For you. Here.
Thanks. Yes?
Wolf?
Oh, how are you, Inspector?
I hear you're in on the Garth killing.
Not very deeply, I'm afraid. We're still trying to locate the Lawrence girl.
Well, you can forget about that.
Yes?
Yes. We've already located her and released her on a habeas corpus.
That sounds interesting.
Her father had a lawyer on our heads before she was in here 10 minutes.
Too bad you couldn't have held on to her.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not so sure we want her.
Why not?
Well, first of all, it's not likely she did it.
No?
No. Ballistics stated that the bullets that killed Willard Garth were not fired from point-blank range. And she was sitting beside him on the back seat.
I see.
Also, we found the murder weapon in the grass near where the limousine was parked, and she admitted it was hers.
That sounds like a poor reason to release her.
Well, the point is she wasn't in possession of the gun when the killing happened. At least so she says.
No, who was?
The doctor.
What doctor?
Townley. The guy who runs that sanitarium. According to her, he took the gun away from her for safekeeping at noon yesterday.
There was a little more talk between them, something about fresh cigar ashes that were found in the dashboard ashtray of the limousine. After that, the boss hung up and exerted himself enough to put a call through to the Townley Sanatorium.
I'm afraid the doctor is very busy just now.
So am I. My business happens to be highly important.
But I'll say you called, Mr. Wolf, and I'll ask him to contact you just as soon as he has a free moment.
Do you happen to have a free moment, miss?
Could
you spend it by telling me if that handyman, Mr. Haynes, has been located?
Why, yes, as a matter of fact, he has. One of the staff just found out where he lives, Mr. Wolf.
Well?
He has a little cottage at 206 Dockside Road. That's out near Sheepshead Bay.
Thank you. Archie.
I'm going someplace, I suppose.
You are? You're going to Sheepshead Bay.
Hello there.
Hmm?
Looking for a guy I can't find.
Oh?
Yeah, his name is Haynes. Stopped at the cottage up there, but there's no one there. I saw you here on the wharf fishing, so I...
What did you say his name is?
Haynes. H-A-I-N-E-S.
Oh, Haynes.
Yeah, do you know him?
Well, there's a fella named Hines used to fish
out
here.
No, not Hines. Haynes.
Couldn't be Honeyberg?
No, it couldn't be. The name is Haynes. H-A-I-N-E-S.
Haynes! Give me your hand here, eh?
Well, what do you know?
Funny, huh? That guy seems to think my name is Haynes.
Yeah, so do I.
You do?
Yes, I... I got back to our house soaked to the skin and minus Haynes, and just in time to see the boss in the exhausting process of walking across the room to answer the phone.
Hello?
This is Dr. Townley. You called me.
So I did.
About the murder?
More specifically, about the statement from Diana Lawrence that you removed a firearm from her possession yesterday morning.
That's quite correct. It's here in my Majolica cabinet.
Is it?
Of course it is.
I suggest you check.
Just a moment. Mr. Wolf.
Yeah?
I'd like to see you at once.
The gun, I suppose, has vanished.
What? How did you know?
Because it is a ballistics, Doctor. It turned out to be the gun that killed Willard Garth.
I see.
Do you?
Yes. And I understand everything now. It's all so crystal clear.
Just how crystal clear?
I'm quite certain, Mr. Wolf, that I can put my finger on the killer.
Then I think it would be well if you came here immediately.
No, I'm afraid it's impossible, sir. There's an important operation schedule, and I simply cannot leave.
What do you suggest?
Well, is it outside the realm of possibility that you come here? Is it, Mr. Wolf? Hello, Mr. Wolf. Mr. Wolf?
When my boss has to leave the house, it's a major tragedy. Sometimes he rages, sometimes he curses the whole detective business, lock, stock, and barrel. And sometimes he keeps very quiet and grips the side of the car desperately and tries not to inhale any fresh air. This was one of the quiet times.
Just go slowly, Archie, but get there as quickly as you can.
Oh, you don't want a chauffeur, Mr. Wolf. What you need is a magician.
Keep your eye on the road and don't strain yourself to make superfluous witticisms.
Why don't you try relaxing a little? I hear there hasn't been a man-eating tiger sighted on the Sawmill River Parkway in the last 500 years.
Your liberty is out of order. Don't try to make light of a deplorable situation.
Here's the sanatorium. And there's Dr. Townley coming to meet us.
It's terribly nice of you to have come, Mr. Wolf. I've heard about your aversion to traveling, and I appreciate your going to the trouble.
Don't. Mitch. Oh, Archie, help me out with my other arm.
There you are. Now, calm down. You're all in one piece.
I think you'll find the trip highly profitable, Mr. Wolf. You'll consider it time very well.
Hey. Hey, what's the matter?
What is it? What happened?
He's been shot.
It's hardly likely. There wasn't a sound.
This kind of shot doesn't make a sound, boss.
What do you mean?
Better take a look for yourself. There's an arrow in his back, and he's dead. We remembered that Dr. Townley had said Diana Lawrence had won the Women's National Archery Tournament for 1947. The Lawrence house was visible through the trees 100 yards away. So we started for it and the sculptor's studio. There's no one around.
So this is his latest effort, Apollo and Ariadne.
Yeah. Done a little work on it since I was here. The Apollo's face is more finished and... Hey, boss.
Yes?
You know, somehow or other, Apollo looks a little familiar.
I wouldn't be surprised, Archie. I think if you examine it closely... Ah, our host.
You remember me, don't you? I met you once at a dinner party at your house the time they opened the new museum on 67th Street.
Of course, Mr. Lawrence.
And to what do I owe the honor?
It's not much of an honor. Dr. Townley has been murdered.
No.
I am afraid Mr. Goodwin is being accurate.
He's been murdered with a bow and arrow. And what does that mean to you, Mr. Lawrence?
I'm sorry. I've been a fool. An awful fool.
You can't blame yourself too much. If you'd cooperated with the police instead of looking out for your daughter's interests, the man would still be alive.
But I assure you that...
Where's the girl?
She should be here now. She phoned me a while ago and said she was coming by for passage money to Rio.
You were looking for me?
Boss.
Diana. Put the gun down, Angel.
And tie a rope around my neck?
Might I inquire if your plan is to kill us all, Miss Lawrence?
Oh, what would yours be if the world was after you for something you didn't do?
Wouldn't you be willing to risk persuading a jury of that?
Thanks, no. I'll skip that chance. Father, get me the money.
Diana, sweetheart, don't make me a part of your murders. That's asking too much of love.
Don't you know I'm not guilty?
No, Diana, I don't.
Leave that gun away, Diana.
Hey!
Looks like I walked in on the nose.
That's him, boss, the guy who soused me.
Take a little of your own advice. Relax, Archie. What do you want here, Mr. Haynes?
I want to give up and try to straighten out this little deal. Mr. Lawrence.
Yes?
Here's your money back. You got a right to call me a welcher. I promised I wouldn't give evidence against the girl, and you paid my price. But enough is enough, and right here and now I'm unloading.
Just what does this mean?
It means I saw her do it.
Oh, you stupid, lying rotten...
Oh, yeah. It's
Trevor, Archie. Trevor, get the pair of them out of here.
What can I say to myself now? What can I do?
I'm sorry, Mr. Lawrence, but it's not necessary to eat your heart out. Many fathers before you have done their best and failed.
But I had a special duty toward Diana.
Special duty?
Yes. Well, you see, you'll find it out sooner or later, so I'd best tell you now. I'm not a real father. I adopted her 9 years ago, and she was 14.
I see.
And I should never have done it. I realize now that I wasn't equal to the task.
Well, all's not lost yet. They may not convict you, you know.
Yeah?
They said they may not convict her.
But how could they fail to convict her? She killed Garth, didn't she?
Did she?
She shot him.
But the gun was in Townley's possession.
She could easily have stolen that. She could have broken into his office later. It wasn't locked.
What wasn't locked?
The Majolica cabinet. I mean...
I believe you mean what you said, Lawrence. The Majolica cabinet. Though for the life of me, I can't see how you could know whether it was locked or not unless you had the experience of opening it. Could it be that you went looking for the gun yourself after Townley said he had confiscated it? That you killed Townley with a bow and arrow, which you handle as well as your daughter, because he was just on the point of telling me that you knew where the gun was and that you were the likeliest murder suspect?
You must be mad.
Oh, sir, not I. But you are mad and more than a little. You hated Willard Garth. It was you who were making the marriage impossible. You loathed him, and in the end, you killed him.
How could I have killed him?
I'll tell you a little secret, Mr. Lawrence. The police found cigar ash in the dashboard tray of the death car. Chemical analysis showed that the ash was from an El Adoro cigar. What have you got in your left hand, sir?
In my... An El Adoro cigar. And in my right hand, a Derringer.
Powerful and admirable little weapon, Lawrence.
I suggest you show proper respect for it by dropping all this here and now.
You don't wish to hear me say the rest, that you were horribly in love with Diana, your own adopted daughter, in love and hopelessly, eternally frustrated? You begrudge me the triumph of accusing you of having bribed Haynes to let you take his place at the driver's seat of the limousine? And further bribed and threatened him into putting on his show of many pranks and false confessions to confuse us all beyond measure?
You said I loved Diana. Would I do all this to her if I did?
Oh, but of course, such love as yours is really hate. You were content to see her dead rather than relinquish her. Like all miserly, small-hearted men, you would rather kill the thing you love than muster the generosity necessary to seeing it attain happiness.
That's enough out of you.
I should think it was much too much.
It is.
Archie, my boy, I'm grateful to you both for coming back into the house when you did and for being such a good shot.
Hope you remember that next time you feel like insulting me.
Tell
me, what's with that cigar ash routine? Who told you the ashes in the limousine were from an El Adoro, boss? I never heard anything about that.
As a matter of fact, neither did I. No one could possibly have determined the brand by any chemical means in existence. I knew that, you see, and I took the long chance that Lawrence didn't.
Uh-huh. But I still don't get the mainspring of the deal. How did you know he was in love with Diana?
That was genius, I have to admit it. You see, it all hinged on the statue of Apollo and Ariadne. According to the Greek myth, Apollo fell deeply in love with the nymph, but because they were of different worlds, he was condemned to pursue her always and never to catch her.
Well, what's that got to do with the price of eggs?
Isn't it perfectly obvious? Didn't he tell you that Diana had posed for the Ariadne?
Yeah, but I still don't...
And you yourself remarked on the fact that the finished Apollo looked somehow familiar, didn't you, Archie?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Well... Don't you know why that was?
You mean that...
I mean that Michael Lawrence unconsciously revealed the true state of his heart. He didn't intend to, I suppose. But precisely and accurately, he chiseled the features of the tortured god in his very own image.
Oh.
And speaking of torture, Archie...
Yeah?
Will we be home in time for dinner?
Oh, boss, you can't be that hungry.
Oh, yeah, I am. Good heavens, did you realize that I haven't eaten since lunch?
Well, listeners, Bow and Arrow, Derringer's Betrayal, and Adopted Lover's Love. This episode had it all and then some. Listeners, I hope you enjoyed the Beautiful Archer episode as much as I did repairing it. If you want to contribute to the show, you can do so via my Patreon, www.patreon.com/sfgt, and you can email me your thoughts at storiesfablesghostlytales@gmail.com. where I personally read every single lovely email. Listeners, I want to thank the amazing Old Night Tea Titan that supports this show, the Golden Hall of Famer, Majestic Maya. Thank you so much for your top-tier support, mate, which has me forever in your gratitude. And your input will always be ingrained into this show. Thank you so much. And I want to thank my two White Tea Warlords, Leza Bowzooka, with your short tale, Larry Double Tap. Two shots ring out in the night. Bang, bang. In quick succession, two bodies fall onto the sidewalk where previously only shadows would be perceived to have taken residence. The bodies belong to the criminal network, accustomed to hiding in the darkness, living in it. As one would turn on the light to go about one's own business, these criminals would sooner skulk in the dark, with the moonlight the only torch they need to get their jobs done. Larry Double Tap, however, is no ordinary man. Well, not to these crooks. Two bullets are all Larry needs to clean up the street. Two taps are his weapon, a tool for cleansing in the dirty streets he calls home. And my next White Tea Warlord, Paige Kramer, the Pavess. There is not a single street in the city of Harlot that the Pavess has not walked, skulked, stalked, or bolted on. Each brick is a support beam and a means of getting to a target quickly. A spiderweb of cement, grime and tortured souls, always leading her to where she needs to be. A heist, an interrogation, or a gentle persuasion of another criminal to do their job. Or to do it for them if the pay's right. The Pavess is not bound by the usual legal restrictions, and every step you take to getting away from her, wherever it is you are, she's likely made it there already, and on the double. Watch your step, because she's most definitely watching yours. And my brilliant, awesome-tastic Earl Grey enforcers I'm lucky to have. Just Heather, Juicebox Andy, Peter Raffelli, Michelangelo Yacone, divided by zero, Leah Fassig, Alia Arcane, and Solstra. And my remaining supporters, Catherine Mason and Sunshine Days. Thank you all for listening, you loveliest of people. Now, write your story, share your tale, make it creepy or something silly about a snail. But remember that little tremor that crawls up your spine, or the tingle that makes you smile from a perfect plot line. That's the magic of storytelling. Like tea, it's divine. You took the time to listen to me, and you think that it was your treat. But I thank you, my friends, for the listen. And as always, till next we meet.